This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 282. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Harley San Suicide, The Domino Daredevil Returns, The Fabled Knights Assemble, The Wake Jumps Ahead, Another Round in the Never-Ending Legal Battle, and Happy Bats Giving. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, November 24th, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts, and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Harley Quinn Number Zero by Connor, Palmiotti, Adler, Baltazar, Clunan, Cook, Daniel, Keith, Tim, Lee, Rue, Moore, Hardin, Hughes, Johnson, Panosian, Roberts, and Simonson.
Woo!
The Harley Quinn character was originally created for the Batman animated series, basically as Joker's Moll.
So did they think they needed a girl in there to get girls to watch the series?
That's
or
one
something?
Of my guesses, yeah. And then was added to the DCU proper and then had her own series, 2001 to 03. She was a member of the Secret Six for a time. Then she was in the Gotham City Sirens title with Poison Ivy and Catwoman. She was reimagined for the New 52 and was a member of Suicide Squad. A lot more goth or punk and a lot more skin, less cute, more vigilante. And now she's getting her own ongoing series, which may or may not be a reboot again. It's kind of being inferred it might be more of a reboot. Now, before this issue came out, there was the whole naked suicide in a bathtub contest controversy.
And that was supposedly to find new artists, wasn't
right,
it?
Right.
Are there any new artists in here?
I don't know if there are or not. I think that whole thing maybe went away.
Kind of petered out because it was such a bad idea.
Right. So this was an artist jam issue. There were 17 artists total, as I mentioned at the beginning. It really breaks the fourth wall as Harley and the artist discuss how things are going throughout and what she likes and doesn't like. Actually reminded me of the classic Warner Brothers cartoon Duck Amuck, where Daffy Duck is being tortured pretty much by the artists and being put in ridiculous situations. Now, Connor and Palmiotti are going to take over the reins of the title with issue number one. And keep in mind, they resuscitated another female one-note character, Power Girl. So we'll see how they can handle Harley.
Well, anything's got to be better than this. I mean, this was a nice artist showcase, I guess, but it wasn't really a story or anything.
No, not at all.
I'm kind of sorry I wasted my time on it.
I liked it.
I know.
I just like seeing all the different artwork.
You're an art person and I'm a narrative person.
I suppose. Batman 66 number 5 by Parker, Jarrell, and Coover. So the digital first series rolls on, and we get to see Aunt Harriet for the first time. But again, why so different a look? And this is something that the one thing that really bugs me about this title is some of the likeness is uncanny to the regular series, to the original 60s TV series. And some of them aren't even close. They're just like,
I wonder if it has something to do with maybe how their original contracts were signed for the TV show, and maybe they don't have the rights to use those images or something.
But back then, they didn't have anything like that in contracts for TV shows. Your rights as an actor were, you're going to get paid the first time this airs, you're going to get paid it'll get rerun twice, and then that's it, and your rights are done forever.
But maybe because of the fact that it was based on the comic book, they're some of the actors might have thrown in something special about depicted later.
I'd really like to know. I just don't get it. So Chief O'Hara has been kidnapped by the Sandman. Now, this Sandman's unrelated to the other Sandmen at DC or Vertigo.
Right. This is a villain Sandman.
Right. Just a guy with hypnotic sand that can put you to sleep. There's a great scene with the dynamic duo at a barista, and they missed a real opportunity here. Why did Batman accept the free coffee?
I didn't think he did.
And I didn't see, they should have made a point of him like, oh no, citizen, I have to pay you. Because
yes.
This whole thing with Chief O'Hara is a trap for the Caped Crusaders. The whole city's being knocked out by this sand, and our heroes are trapped in dreams. So Batman manages to make his dream lucid and defeat the villain just in time to avoid revealing the location of the Batcave.
He pretty much gave it away except for the one landmark.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
And then the second story is our first Batgirl story. The Tiger Topaz is on display at a museum. I wonder who will steal it, the Tiger Topaz.
I just don't know.
Of course, it's Catwoman, but this time the Eartha Kitt Catwoman, which of course fits timeline-wise with Batgirl. They both appeared in the third season of the series. Poses as this exhibit designer in order to set things up for her crime, and then breaks in later. So Barbara and Selina duke it out, and Commissioner Gordon steps in and snaps on the handcuffs after they're both exhausted. The Eartha Kitt artwork was spot on, and again, this goes back to the point of that was perfect, but Commissioner Gordon doesn't look anything like, neither does Alfred, neither does Aunt Harriet. Maybe the artist can't do older people well.
That could be.
But I am enjoying this title nonetheless. Fables 135 from Vertigo by Willingham and Buckingham. Now, we know that the title will wrap up at issue 150, so they really need to move things along.
I was thinking about that, but that's still more than a year away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
15 issues.
Sure. So we're in the middle of the Camelot storyline. Snow wanted, as you remember, to trap Brandish in this pit and basically put him in there and drop some cement on him so he would never be able to get out. But Rose stopped her from doing that. So at the beginning, we see Snow setting up a hit on him, calling somebody to basically take him out.
Yes, and we have no idea who.
So meanwhile, Rose and Old King Cole are discussing real estate in the new Fable Town and the fact that she's going to need at least one additional castle and maybe more. And Cole's like, well, we just don't have the money. What are we going to do? The prospective Knights of the Round Table have reached Fable Town. And fortunately, there's a no eating others policy in place because the goblin was ready to eat this porcine knight. Brandish is digging sewer ditches and meanwhile planning his revenge. Rose makes her big speech to the knights. Some of them will become knights of second chances, but how to pick who's going to get the job? Well, there's going to be some sort of challenge. But
not a challenge to the death.
Right. But Rose doesn't seem to have thought this out very well. She's like, oh, there's going to be some sort of challenge. And
I'll pick them. I know.
Right. Meanwhile, Bigby's glass body, his wolf body, is almost reassembled, and there's this mysterious person who's holding the last piece, who I almost think is Snow.
Really?
You only see this...
The hand.
The hand, and you see a fireplace, and you see this piece of glass on the table. Something almost tells me it's Snow. I'm not sure.
I thought it might be Mrs. Spratt.
Snow warns her cubs to stay away from Rose and her knights and says, from now on, you can't interact with them because Snow is cutting off all connection to Rose because
she's giving Brandish a second chance.
Right. And Snow says, this is going to end very badly and I don't want to be involved. I don't want my kids to be in danger. All of this is set up, of course, for the resolution of this storyline. I'm sure that's coming soon. And from what I'm reading, apparently there's going to be one last big storyline after this, and that's going to take us to 150. The Wake, number 5 from Vertigo by Snyder and Murphy. We get some more backstory for our heroine. She was dragged under the water as a child, basically out in a boat with her father. when she was underwater, she saw a host of the dead below her. She thought it was a dream because she was unconscious due to being underwater and basically drowning. But maybe it wasn't a dream, because in the main story, the giant creature, and I mean giant creature, is attacking the undersea rig they're in. She realizes the creature swarm is going to attack the mainland. The historian of the group relates these flood myths that occurred throughout many cultures where a great flood occurs. The survivalist suddenly says, "Oh yeah, I have a weaponized sub. Did I not mention that?"
Yeah, really? Come on.
The kind of deus ex machina all of a sudden.
It didn't really solve the problem.
No, but it got them out of there, where basically, I don't know how else they were going to get out of the rig. So they escape the rig, and they attack the creatures, but to no avail. Our heroine calls her son on the surface and learns the attack has already started on the mainland. There are whirlpools everywhere. And now we've suddenly jumped ahead to the flooded city and the mysterious girl we saw in the first issue, and I really haven't seen since then.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be the second half of the storyline for this title. And according to Snyder's afterword, the much more exciting part.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, the title is now on hiatus until February, which is what they did with the unwritten title. Maybe they figured during the holidays people don't buy comics or something.
Or they don't buy depressing comics.
Well, yeah, there is that. The never-ending legal battle rolls on, because who owns the rights to Superman? We still don't exactly know.
I do. Oh, no.
Well, this week, the Ninth Circuit upheld an earlier ruling against the heirs to Joe Shuster. They wanted to terminate an earlier agreement that they had made with DC because the siblings of Shuster had accepted a pension in 1992, and in exchange, they gave up their half of the copyright. This superseded the original 1938 agreement, which was essentially work for hire. We're going to pay you so much per page, and that's it, and your rights are done.
Right.
It's unclear and unlikely that this could go to the Supreme Court, because the Second Circuit already agreed on the same matter. So technically, there's nothing for the Supremes to determine. Because there's two different circuits who said, nope, you made your agreement, you're done.
Uh-huh.
But there was one dissenting judge in the Ninth Circuit, so I'm sure it's not over.
So why do they think they can come back now and say, oh no, that wasn't a real agreement?
Because apparently it was unclear at the time that the siblings actually had the rights, because it was siblings and not heirs, because it wasn't his descendants doing it.
But it would have been his heirs if he didn't have any descendants, though, right?
Right. Basically, they're going to do everything they possibly can. And I would not at all be surprised this goes to the Supreme Court anyways. It may be that the Supremes just refuse to take it. Well, we have another two-page teaser from DC. It was posted in all DC titles this week in place of the Channel 52 ad. It's called Happy Batsgiving, and it ties into the new Batman Eternal weekly series coming later this winter, I believe. Now, we're going to post a link to this on the Facebook page, because you really do need to see it. So the readers are poring over the details and kind of reading the tea leaves, which is what you have to do with this, because it's all kind of symbolic, and what does this mean, and what does that mean? So just a few of the things you're going to see there. Talon is sitting with a group of potential new Robins, Tim Drake, Harper Lee, and someone sitting with their back to us in a purple hoodie, who everyone is assuming is Spoiler.
Well, it looks very spoilerish.
Yes. While an actual Robin sits on the back of Titus, who is Damian's dog. So people are saying, does that mean Damian is coming back? Jim Gordon is in handcuffs. Alfred is in coveralls from Arkham. Batwing is in the foreground of the picture, which people are saying, well, maybe he'll be more central to the overall plot line. Batwoman and Maggie Sawyer are standing together, which ties back to the whole thing about, well, they weren't allowed to marry, but they're still going to be together. Joker's daughter is under the table, as in she's in the underground of Gotham. There's a frozen island in the background. There's an owl in a tree who's overlooking the whole thing. So it just goes on and on and on and on. And so people will spend all the time between now and the time that Batman Eternal comes out reading the tea leaves and trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
All right. Before you get out of here, it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Are you ready, Mark?
I am.
Okay. Beep.
TV related?
Yes.
Is it one TV show?
Yes.
Is it a show on one of the broadcast networks?
No.
Show on cable?
Yes.
Is it on the premium cable?
No.
Okay. Is it a drama? It's a fictional series.
Yes.
Okay. Is it comedy?
No.
So it's more drama than comedy?
Yeah, if that's the two choices.
Okay. Is it genre related?
Yes.
Is it supernatural related?
Yes.
Is it fantasy related?
No.
Is it science fiction related?
No.
Is it medical related?
No.
Is it vampire related?
No.
Is it, let's see, I'm missing, we said fantasy. Based on a book?
No.
All right. And more drama, genre related, okay. One person on the cover?
No.
Two?
No.
Three?
Yes.
Two men and a woman?
No.
Two women and a man?
No.
Three women?
Yes.
Okay. Three women.
See, I'm not giving you any clues.
No, three women on, and it's more of a drama, and it's on one of the, is it a show that's already out?
Yes.
Okay. Are the three women under 30?
No.
Under 40?
Well, they're different ages.
Oh, okay. So is it like two?
But they're all older, not really younger.
Okay. I'll go that way. Let's see. Could it be? Yep, too late.
And really, I guess it's two and a half women on the cover. Two women and a head.
Two women and a head?
It's American Horror Story.
Oh, I see.
You
very
probably
nice.
Wouldn't have ever
I
gotten that.
I wouldn't have
that.
Gotten to that, no.
That's why I wasn't giving you clues, because you probably wouldn't even have gotten it with clues.
I wouldn't have gotten to that for a while.
Do-do-do, 20 minutes later, American Horror Story. Okay.
All right, want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including our From the Pop Culture Bunker video podcast. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.